You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
It is the 13th of September. The day has come to an end. All that took place on Dalal Street, you've already found out, on an evening walk down Dalal Street. Meanwhile, there's spying in Washington, and Israel is supposed to be behind it, and Netanyahu has denied it. The speaker of the order fame has vowed to take on Boris Johnson to prevent a no-deal Brexit from happening. And those are the other stories that are haunting the rest of the world. But as usual, on Stories of the Day, we follow a format where we discuss India business, India politics, and then head on to those stories. Because, well, this is that podcast where you come to get caught up with the news from across the world. My name is Rakesh Sharma, and you're listening to Money Control.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
Let's start with India business stories. India is considering selling Bharat Petroleum, the nation's second largest state refiner and fuel retailer, to a global oil company, according to sources. The government is keen to lure multinational companies in the domestic fuel retailing to boost competition and shake up a sector that's long been dominated by state-run firms, according to sources. Prime Minister Modi's government has set a record target of raising 1.05 trillion rupees, or about $14.8 billion in the current fiscal year, from sale of state firms. The government's budget gap goal of 3.3% of the GDP is at risk due to sluggish revenue collections on the back of a growth slowdown, limiting the government's ability to spend on infrastructure and welfare programs. Offloading its holding in Bharat Petroleum can help meet more than 40% of the aim based on the closing price on the 12th of September. An earlier attempt to sell state refiners Hindustan Petroleum to a single investor and Bharat Petroleum to the public was stalled by the Supreme Court order in 2003 following protests by labor and political groups. Shares of banks and NBFCs dropped up to 5% in morning deals today, a day after Altico Capital India, a lender to real estate companies, said it has defaulted on interest payments to Mashreq Bank of Dubai. An interest payment of 19.97 crore rupees was due on the 12th of September. The gross principal amount for the external commercial borrowing on which Altico Capital has defaulted stands at 340 crore rupees. Altico further said that its failure to repay the amount may result in an acceleration of interest repayment or redemption obligations in respect of non-convertible debt securities issued by the company and may trigger a default in their timely repayments. The default by Altico comes after a rating downgrade by India Ratings and the resignation of its chairperson and independent director Naina Lal Kidwai, former head of HSBC India, earlier this month. The ratings agency added that Altico's loan book is concentrated, given the high single-party exposures. The top 10 individual exposures accounted for 39% of the loan book, that is 90% of the net worth, and the top 10 group exposures accounted for 60% of the loan book, that is 139% of net worth at end of FY19. With this high concentration, the impact could be disproportionate in the event of any major defaults, the press release went on to add. Air India Asset Holdings will issue bonds worth 22,000 crore rupees in the coming weeks, with the first tranche worth 7,000 crore rupees set to hit the market on the 16th of September, according to a senior official. AIAHL, that is Air India Asset Holdings Limited, a special purpose vehicle of national carrier Air India, is planning to raise the amount by issuing bonds with different tenures. A little over half of Air India's debt of 58,000 crore rupees is to be repaid through issuance of bonds by AIAHL. The bond issue on the 16th of September, in which banks and mutual funds are expected to participate, would have a tenure of 3 years and 3 months. AIAHL would issue 10-year bonds worth 15,000 crore rupees in the coming weeks. When Air India Asset Holdings was set up last year, the plan was to transfer 29,464 crore rupees of Air India's debt to the special purpose vehicle. In February, the cabinet gave its ex post facto approval for the creation of the AIAHL and associated activities for the disinvestment of Air India and its subsidiaries and joint ventures. In news from elsewhere, following the death of 23-year-old R. Shubhashree in a road accident after a flex board fell on her two-wheeler in Chennai on Thursday, the Madras High Court today came down heavily on politicians and bureaucrats for their apathy towards human lives. A division bench of Justices M. Sathinarayanan and N. Sheshasai went on to ask, and I quote, "How many more liters of blood do the officials want the roads to be painted with before they turn sensitive and begin cracking down on illegal flexboards?" Unquote. Empathizing with the young woman, the judges asked who would now answer the hapless parents of the youngster. The judges said they had lost faith in the government because of its failure to implement in letter and spirit multiple orders passed by the court in the last few years against illegal flexboards. The observations were made during the hearing of a contempt of court petition filed for alleged disobedience of their December 2018 order banning political parties from erecting flexboards. They wondered how the officials turned a blind eye to the fact that a ruling party functionary had erected a flexboard and whether the politician could not have conducted a marriage without flexboards. They also wanted party flags erected on the median on Kamarajar Salai, abutting the Marina Beach, to be removed forthwith since they might end up causing another accident. Kashmir Governor Satyapal Malik's announcement of a market intervention scheme to buy apple crop worth 8,000 crore rupees directly from the farmers in Kashmir yesterday has brought relief to apple growers in Srinagar. The August 5th decision of the union government to revoke Jammu and Kashmir's special status resulted in a communication blockade, affecting the traders' ability to tie up with wholesale buyers outside or line up with transport companies. Kashmir produces 75% of the total apple crop in the country at 20 lakh metric tons. The intervention of 8,000 crore rupees will reach out to 60% of the total population of Jammu and Kashmir, said the governor. The government's market intervention, the first of its kind in J&K, will allow the apples produced to be bought from the doorsteps of the orchardists with payment made directly to their accounts. The government has set up mandis for the scheme at Srinagar's Barimpora, Baramulla's Sopor, Shopian and Anantnag's Botengu areas. Key states have expressed reservations on a cut in GST rate for the auto sector because of the grim revenue situation. This comes after the Fitment panel refrained from recommending a reduction and showed a potential revenue loss of 50,000 crore rupees annually if GST was reduced to 18%. States including Bihar, West Bengal, Kerala and Punjab are of the view that the slowdown in the auto sector is not because of the GST rate but structural issues in the economy. Bihar Deputy Chief Minister Sushil Modi even ruled out supporting the sector by abolishing the cess component. He said, and I quote, "Where will the centre get funds to compensate states? The revenue position is grim," unquote. The cess on the auto sector is 1 to 22% on the 28%. It is used to compensate states for the revenue shortfall for 5 years since the GST rollout, assuming a growth rate of 14% annually. Amit Mitra, West Bengal Finance Minister, said the rate cut decision could not be considered till there was a proper study on its revenue elasticity and cross-elasticity. Punjab, too, is of the view that the rate cut was not feasible and had resisted a rate reduction from 18% to 5% on electric vehicles in the last council meeting. Kerala has opposed any rate reduction for vehicles and said in case the benefit is passed on by way of a cut in the cess, it should not have any bearing on the compensation given to states and the centre should bear it. The shortfall in the central GST in 2018-2019 stood at 50,000 crore rupees, as much as the projected revenue loss on account of a cut in the rate for auto. Fraudsters are coming up with ingenious ideas to take the central government for a ride when it comes to the Pradhan Mantri Jan Arogya Yojana, that is PMJAY, or the Ayushman Bharat Initiative, says the National Anti-Fraud Unit, that is NAFU. In one bizarre case, NAFU officials noticed that claims had been raised under PMJ, that is Ayushman Bharat, for as many as 8 deliveries by women in one house at the same time. Investigations revealed that up to 8 ineligible pregnant women, unrelated to each other, had gotten themselves enrolled in PMJAY through fake e-cards. These cards were made by faking a relationship with a PMJAY parent beneficiary. PMJAY uses socioeconomic caste census data, that is SECC, to ascertain beneficiary families and primarily records the name of the head of the family. Other family members get e-cards based on proof of relationship with the head of the family. The fraudsters establish fake family links by showing a forged marriage certificate, ration card or birth certificate, all of which, of course, can be forged. Each family is assured a medical cover of 5 lakh rupees annually. The entire amount is never utilized within a year by the family. This hefty amount in an SECC, registered beneficiary's family wallet, leaves a massive space for fraud. In certain cases, wallets of SECC beneficiaries have been mysteriously exhausted. Such occurrences have led the National Health Authority to step up its due diligence by follow-ups and queries by SMS when a patient gets admitted. However, there is no mechanism in place currently to detect all frauds. Also, NHA has shut down 154 fake websites and up to 590 fake mobile phone applications that provided enrollment by charging money. In international business news, WeWork is considering curtailing the power of CEO Adam Neumann and his wife Rebecca Neumann in an effort to get its initial public offering back on track, says the Financial Times. Neumann dominates the company thanks in part to holding special stock that gives him 20 votes per share. The company's investors, advisors, and executives are deliberating whether to reduce his voting power, among other possible corporate governance reforms, according to the Financial Times. Under WeWork's corporate bylaws, Rebecca Neumann is one of three people who would decide on her husband's successor if he should die or become incapacitated within 10 years of the company's IPO. One of the other changes the real estate giant is debating is whether to remove her from that role. WeWork has been struggling to line up potential investors for its planned public offering. Neumann's control over the company and a series of transactions involving him or his relatives have raised eyebrows. Investors and analysts have also raised concerns about the company valuation and financial stability. In its last private funding round in January, WeWork was valued at a staggering $47 billion, but it's now considering going public with a market capitalization of as little as $15 billion. Facebook's Libra cryptocurrency is facing trouble. France's finance minister Bruno Le Maire has said that Libra cannot be allowed to operate in Europe while concerns persist about sovereignty, systemic financial risks, and the risk of abuses by a dominant market player. The world's largest social media network announced plans in June of this year to launch the new currency as it expands into e-commerce, but Libra has come under fire from regulators around the world who fear it could destabilize the global financial system. The French finance minister went on to say, and I quote, "This eventual privatization of money contains risks of abuse of dominant position, risks to sovereignty, and risks for consumers and for companies," unquote. Le Maire also talked about the possible setting up of a public digital currency under the aegis of international financial institutions. The group of seven advanced economies, that is G7, warned in July that it would not let Libra proceed until all regulatory concerns have been addressed, saying that a prolonged discussion over the project may first be required. In another setback this week for Libra, Switzerland said the proposed payment system could face strict rules that typically apply to banks on top of tough anti-money laundering laws. In other news, the Trump administration is finalizing plans to allow oil and gas drilling in a portion of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge that has been protected for decades. The Bureau of Land Management, that is BLM, will offer leases on essentially the entire 1.6 million acre coastal plain, which includes places where threatened polar bears have dens and porcupine caribou visit for calving. Drilling operations are expected to be problematic for indigenous populations, many of which rely on subsistence hunting and fishing. The Democrat-controlled House just hours earlier passed legislation to protect the area, but Republicans in the majority in the Senate are highly unlikely to approve the bill. The environmentally sensitive area of Alaska's Arctic was forbidden for drilling until a change by Congress in an unrelated 2017 tax bill. BLM, that is Bureau of Land Management, on Thursday issued its final environmental impact statement for the project and said it aims to start granting leases by the end of the year. In reviews of a draft impact statement, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services said the BLM underestimated the climate impacts of the oil leases. There's another hurdle for asylum seekers. The Supreme Court handed the Trump administration another victory on immigration issues this year, this time by allowing the administration to close the U.S. southern border to most Central Americans who are seeking asylum. In other news from Washington, three former senior U.S. officials said the U.S. government and the FBI concluded that Israel planted cell phone surveillance devices near the White House and other Washington locations in the past 2 years, aiming to gain intelligence on President Trump and his aides, according to an exclusive report on Politico. The officials noted there were no repercussions on the Israeli government's behavior. Last year, Politico reported the president's personal cell, used for friends and confidants, was insufficiently secured, while the New York Times wrote that China often listens to Trump's phone calls, an allegation that the president immediately said was false. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu flatly denied the report, calling it a complete fabrication and a blatant lie. but it's left Israeli's officials wondering why the story did not break earlier, this according to Axios. Meanwhile, Netanyahu is up for re-election next week, and his strong ties with Trump are important in increasing his chances to hold on to his seat. In a roundup of other news coming out of the world, following Walmart's lead, 145 CEOs of major firms like Twitter, Uber, Gap, and Levi Strauss signed a letter to Senate leaders demanding action on gun reform. This is, to date, the most concerted business effort to enter the firearms debate, as reported by the New York Times. People magazine, meanwhile, has said Meghan Markle, Duchess of Sussex and wife of Prince Harry, has launched a fashion collection in London on Thursday in support of her patronage of Smartworks, a charity that provides women with free clothes and coaching tips for job interviews. This event marked Meghan Markle's first outing since giving birth to her son, Archie. News from England again, Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling has donated almost $20 million to support neurology research at a clinic in Edinburgh in honour of her late mother. The Anne Rowling Regenerative Neurology Clinic was set up by Rowling herself in 2010 after a $12 million donation. Returning to the US government one more time, the US government's budget deficit for fiscal 2019 went past the $1 trillion mark in August, the first time that level has been eclipsed in 7 years. The total shortfall rose to nearly $1.07 trillion, thanks to a difference between revenue and expenses of more than $214 billion in August. The government saw that large a fiscal deficit in 2012 when the gap was nearly $1.1 trillion. During his presidential campaign, Trump promised economic growth that would easily take care of the tax cuts and new spending he planned. His 2017 tax break for corporations and very rich individuals has helped contribute to a deficit that has grown from $584.6 billion in 2016 to now more than $1 trillion. Revenue has accelerated slightly in 2019 to about $280 billion a month, but so have expenditures, which are averaging $377 billion a month. Last year closed with a $779 billion deficit. Huawei is trying an unusual tactic to try to break its deadlock with the US government. It is offering to sell the rights to all its 5G patents in a one-time-only offer. The idea, according to Huawei CEO Ren Zhengfei, would be to create a rival for the Chinese tech giant. Ren said he had no idea who might be interested in buying, and he did not put a figure on how much Huawei's 5G stack might be worth, though it could run to tens of billions of dollars given what Huawei has poured into research. The move is designed to placate concerns in the West about Huawei's 5G dominance, coupled with national security concerns from the Trump administration, which argues that Huawei could act as a proxy for the Chinese government to spy. Huawei has, of course, denied this. Huawei's rollout of 5G has been actively targeted by the Trump administration, which has been advising allies to reject Huawei's kit or risk damaging their relationship with the US. It is unclear whether the strategy floated by Ren would do anything to appease the US, whether China would approve the sale, or even whether Huawei would find a buyer. Spotify is doubling down on creating original music by acquiring the audio production firm SoundBetter, which is essentially a platform where singers, songwriters, producers, and music engineers are available for hire. Even though it does take a commission for the transactions on its marketplace, it is paying out around $1 million on a monthly basis to the artists on board. One part of the business is an online marketplace for artists to offer their services, and second is helping finished music find a spotlight. Their Tracks services lets users put their music out there to get licensed. SoundBetter services will be integrated with Spotify for artists. Spotify tried to attempt something similar with DistroKid, but it never made it past the beta phase and was finally shut down in July this year. SoundBetter is a successful company in its own right with 180,000 registered users. Spotify has been clear about its aim to give original artists space on its platform, and the acquisition of SoundBetter means artists will have more tools and experts at their disposal to create content. Musicians operating on Spotify have often complained that they cannot earn enough royalties from the platform. Having additional services available could open up other avenues of earning money without having to leave the Spotify platform. Spotify itself has been operating at a loss. Diversifying its revenue streams could allow the streams to gather more audiences. In other news that we must know, songbirds exposed to the world's most widely used insecticide exhibit anorexic behavior and delay their migration because they needed more time to feed, according to new research. This is likely to severely harm their chances of surviving and reproducing, scientists said, adding that imidacloprid could be driving dramatic declines in global songbird populations. This research is the first to provide evidence of a link between a group of insecticides called neonicotinoids, applied as spray on most major crops worldwide, and the overall population declines observed in many migratory species. Previously, the toxic effects of neonicotinoids were only thought to affect insects. Bridget Stutchbury from York University went on to say, and I quote, "Our study shows that this is bigger than the bees. Birds can also be harmed by modern neonicotinoid pesticides, which should worry us all." This piece of research has been published in the journal Science. Later this month, online food retailer Grazing will launch a range of bug-based snacks from France-based Jiminy's and Bugsolutely, a Thai company that uses insect flour as a key ingredient. Having hosted insect tastings in Hong Kong, Lucy Somme, who is a co-founder of Grazing, says the feedback from consumers and those in the food industry has been positive. While it might be hard to swallow in the West, it is a practice that has been going on for thousands of years. Today, about 1,900 species of insects are eaten by about 2 billion people, according to the United Nations FAO, that is Food and Agriculture Organization. Says Somme, and I quote, "It's about erasing the yuck factor. People need time to adapt and see that eating insects is no different to eating shrimp or lobster." Unquote. In a world with an ever-growing population and shrinking food resources, consumers are making more informed choices when it comes to what they eat, with a growing number seeking alternatives to meat. Bugs fit that bill. They're healthy for both people and the planet. Insects are rich in protein, vitamins and amino acids and leave a small environmental footprint. To produce the same quantity of protein, crickets need 6 times less feed than cattle, and they emit less greenhouse gas and ammonia than conventional livestock, according to the UN. By 2030, global sales of edible insects sold either whole or in the form of a smoothie powder are expected to grow from $1 billion to $8 billion, according to one recent report. Before I let you go, what happened on Dalal Street today? Benchmark indices surged in the last hour of trading in a range-bound manner for a major part of the day. The BSE Sensex rallied 281 points to 37,385, and the Nifty 50 claimed 11,000 again to end at 11,076. What I meant to say earlier was it was range-bound through most of the day, but during the last hour, it picked up. Investor sentiment got a major boost as signs of progress in US-China trade talks and aggressive stimulus from the European Central Bank helped to calm fears of a global economic slowdown. Vedanta was a top gainer on the BSE, while Bharti Airtel was the biggest loser. That's it. All the big stories that you absolutely had to know from the country and the world. Do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Do listen to our Digging Deeper story, which is going to be about Brexit. And until the next time you hear from me, which is going to be on Monday, first thing in the morning, bright and early, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.